Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You know what? Have a little bit of faith. Things are going to be all right. Well, are they going to be all right in terms of our water and our dams? Well, that's what we wanted to find out. Professor Anthony Turton is joining us this morning. There are reports that 90% of South African dams do not comply with safety standards, and reports that 94 out of 144 municipalities supply unsafe waters. We've been trying to get to the bottom of it. A lot of listeners saying, is our water safe to drink? Can we be drinking our tap water? Professor Anthony Turton, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you and the listeners, and thanks for having me on air again.
So what is, first of all, let's start with the dams in South Africa. What is the story here?
Okay, I think it's important to note that in your intro, you spoke about the dam safety issue, and then you also spoke about water quality issues. Those two things are completely separate issues. So I think it's very, very important that we don't create the impression that dam safety is a direct has a direct impact on water quality. They're completely different matters. Dam safety is really to do with the structural integrity and the mitigation of risk arising from the fact that an artificial structure has been created in the pathway of a massive flow of water. So, you know, it's the proverbial unstoppable force meets an immovable object kind of moment, when you have to design the structure in such a way that it will not fail, because typically when a dam fails, it releases huge volumes of water, and that goes flowing down the valley. It causes all kinds of loss of life and destruction downstream. So that's really what the dam safety factor is about. That's nothing to do with supply of water to municipalities.
Right. Okay. So that's, so one thing has got absolutely nothing to do with the other. I mean, those are two very separate issues. How bad is this problem at the dams?
Well, when we say they're separate issues, yes, they are separate issues, but they both speak to the capacity of the state to manage infrastructure. So that's where the common overlap on the Venn diagram would be, you know, where there's this, the general loss
the middle area.
Capacity by the state.
Yeah.
Have I lost you?
It just was, the line wasn't clear for a moment, but I think you're back properly now.
They both speak to the loss of capacity of the state to deal with matters related to infrastructure. That's really where the common factors.
Right. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Let's talk about the water quality situation.
Yes, water quality is most certainly deteriorating, and one of the reasons for the deterioration is the general breakdown of infrastructure because of the underinvestment, underspending, and lack of maintenance. But the other driver of water quality is the fact that we've allowed bulk water to become increasingly polluted by industrial effluent and sewage. So we've lost our dilution capacity in our big dams. So those are the two major drivers of our loss of water quality in South Africa.
So what does that mean practically? You know, if listeners say, well, I live in Johannesburg, should I be boiling my water? Should I be buying bottled water? Or can I simply drink the water?
Yes, this is that's a seductive question, and I would love to give a simple answer. I think, the simple answer is we need to trust the water service provider. And Rand Water, which is the bulk provider, has always been a trustworthy party. And we need to restore that trust where that trust has eroded. Having said that, the reality is that there is an erosion of trust. And I would say that people must use their common sense. If it smells bad or looks bad, then it's probably bad. Then if that's the case, you must rather boil the water. And if you really are concerned, then consider buying tap water, buying bottled water. But at this point in time, indications are that Rand Water is still capable of producing good quality water. And while the infrastructure in Johannesburg is deteriorating, indications are that it is also still capable of providing reasonable quality water. But we need to restore the confidence and trust in the bulk water provision. This has to be a priority for the management of both our systems, and therefore priority of government.
But what about in areas, you know, when we're reading about the seawater in on the north coast, in certain parts of KwaZulu-Natal? Does that, you know, that's in the ocean, that's one, of course, but is that something that could impact on the water as well, the quality of drinking water?
Yes, so you know, if we want to go down into the cause of that, that's exactly the same cause as the deterioration of water quality in Johannesburg. So in other words, the fact that we've got E. coli in Durban on in the sea is the same reason that we have E. coli in, you know, in the rivers in of the Vol. So it's basically both comes down to the failure of municipalities to manage their wastewater. In other words, the sewage return flows. We produce 5 billion liters of sewage every day, and about 80% of that goes back into the river completely untreated. So you know, we cannot continue to tolerate the flow of sewage either into the rivers or into the oceans, because you know, they both end up in the same place.
What is the process in South Africa for monitoring the quality of our drinking water? You know, you talk about restoring faith in the municipalities, making sure that Rand Water and the others are held accountable. Who is the party responsible for monitoring this?
Yes, the party that's responsible is in fact the regulator, and the regulator is the Department of Water and Sanitation. Now, therein lies the problem, because the Department of Water and Sanitation is both a player and a referee. And we found that under Nomvula Mokonyane, she gave an order when she was Minister of Water. She gave an instruction to her staff not to make any comments on water-related matters from any municipality. And she cited a frivolous clause in the Constitution known as the Cooperative Governance Clause, whereby it says that one state department can't interfere with the activities of another. Now, if that's the case, it clearly means that the department is unfit to be the regulator. We need an independent regulator. But the mechanism, you know, the actual mechanism for confidence building is the blue and green drop reporting system. And that was abolished by Nomvula Mokonyane, but it has recently been reinstated by Senzo Mchunu. So, in other words, we need to support the fact that the minister has reinstated it. And yes, while he's reinstated it, it has shown the dismal state of infrastructure and water quality. The very point that you've raised today comes from the fact that they have acknowledged that deteriorating water quality. So, you know, now that we know about it, we can hopefully manage it, because that's, you know, if you know something, you can manage it away. But, so that's the mechanism. The mechanism is the blue and green drop report, which was abolished for a long period of time, but is now recently being brought back by the current minister.
So should this result in better monitoring of the water quality?
Yes, it will result in that. But you must also remember that the blue and green drop standard, in this case, the water quality that you're talking about is the blue drop, that's your drinking water quality. That standard it reflects the extent to which municipalities are even willing to report on it. So, you know, while the system is in place, it's not an infallible system, but we need to strengthen the system. It used to work very well, and we need to just get it back to what it used to do beforehand.
Absolutely. That's where we leave it. That was Professor Anthony Turton speaking to us both about the two situations, separate but obviously relevant at some point. Professor Anthony Turton. It is 8:43. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.